Hey, welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Memorial Day weekend, and we do want to take this moment just to honor those that have paid the ultimate price and sacrifice so that we can enjoy the freedoms that we do have in this nation, and particularly those of you, you know, you've had family members, friends, loved ones that have paid that price. You know, we just want to, first of all, we want to say thank you so much. It's because of you that we're able to do this. And so we also want, I just want to pray over you right now that the God of all comfort, scripture describes him, he's the God of all comfort, and he comforts us in the midst of all our troubles. I just pray that over you right now, that the peace of God comforts your heart. And we just speak that over you. And again, we bless you, we honor you, and thank you for your sacrifice. And just to introduce myself, my name is Sean Moore. I'm the director of Waymaker, our school of ministry here at Victory Family Church. And typically we say that we are one church in two locations, Cranberry Township and also Newcastle. But of course, we're one church in every location. Wherever you are, that's where we are. Whatever device you're on, we're so glad to have you here together with us. In fact, would you just put in the chat right now, if you're joining us live, put it in the chat where you're joining us in from. We'd love to see that, know where you're at. And you know, it's so awesome to see what God is doing throughout our region, throughout our nation, throughout the world. So excited again to be here with you. I just want to take a moment to pray over us, of our time together. I believe God has a word for you and for us to help us, to strengthen us for all that he has for us to be and to do. So let's pray and we'll get right into it. Father, we thank you today, right now, wherever we are. We open up our hearts to you. We set our hearts in a place of faith and expectation, opening up ourselves, Lord, to receive from you, to hear from you. Holy Spirit, we invite you to speak to us, to minister to our hearts right now, whatever we need to hear, that we may not just hear it, but do it and act in accordance with it. And only by your grace can we do that. And we thank you for that enabling power in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to begin today in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 26 and 27. Hebrews 12, 26 and 27 says this. This is our verse that we're going off of for our theme today. It says this: at that time, his voice, that's God's voice, his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised, once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that's created things, so that what cannot be shaken, hear that, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. I don't think it's any secret that we're in the midst of quite the shaking in not only our nation, but really all throughout the world. There's a shaking going on. Everything that we knew as normal, it was removed. And for many of us, it's still removed. All the predictable, all the normal, all the routines removed. And so as a result of that, there's so many different thoughts and questions that were of where we live right now, where it's, you know, I'm just tired of all the uncertainties. Or maybe you've said, I'm worried about my health. I'm worried about my family's health, my loved one's health. I don't know if my business is going to make it. Am I going to lose my job? Or how am I going to be able to find a job? Will I be able to go back to school again? Is it going to be online? Or what's that going to look like? Am I going to be able to retire? Will this virus actually come back again? When is it that we're going to get back to normal? Because everything that was normal has been removed. But I actually think that all these questions, all these thoughts that we have, as valid and true and real as they are, I actually believe that they're the wrong questions. They're actually exposing maybe a wrong thought pattern in our minds right now. Because the essence of all these thoughts and all these questions is, wait a minute, how can I restore what was removed? How can I restore what was removed? How can I get back to that? But I actually think, what if in the midst of all of this, even though God isn't the cause of the coronavirus, he's not the one who's brought this or the economic hardships and all these different things, but what if God, in the midst of this time, actually wants this to be a time of shaking in our lives so that everything that can be removed would be removed, so that all that remains is that which is unshakable? What if God, through this, wants to give birth to something that's better than what was before? And I want to title this message today, as we get into it, this: the making is in the shaking. The making is in the shaking. You know, so often in order for God to make something in us, he has to shake some things out of us. I think about, you know, in a typical Pennsylvania winter, you know, we've been very fortunate. We really haven't had, at least in our area, we haven't had a really bad PA winter where it's just dumping snow everywhere. And we've had cold temperatures and things freezing over and stuff, but we haven't really had a real bad snowy winter in a while. But regardless, stuff always does get cold. It freezes over, so there's salt everywhere. I can tell you at the apartment where my wife and I, my son, where we live, man, they salt that thing. They salt that parking lot behind our apartment. They salt it like crazy. Salt is everywhere. We're swimming in it. And as a result, man, that salt ends up in a car. And I think about like my car mat in the middle of a Pennsylvania winter. It's just covered in salt and all this kind of stuff. And so that salt gets into the fabric, right? It starts to, but ultimately, if I'm not diligent to take out the car mat and to shake it and to, or vacuum it or whatever to get it out of there, man, that salt's gonna get ingrained in there and it stains it. And I can still get the car mat in our one car, and particularly on the driver's side where it's been stained, right? That salt's gotten in there. And can I tell you, it's the same thing in our lives, that how God actually wants to get into the middle of that stuff, because the salt and the things, the cares and all the things going on in the world, it gets in us, right? It gets on us, and it can start to and get ingrained inside of us, and it starts to even stain at times if we don't allow God to come in and start shaking that stuff out. Now, I actually want to define what that looks like. What is a shaking? A shaking, remember this, I encourage you to write this down. Commit it to memory. A shaking is the removal of everything that keeps us from being unshakable. A shaking is the removal of everything that keeps us from being unshakable. Here's what I know. Things are going to return back to some form of normal at some point. I don't know when. You don't know when. Everybody, it's just a guessing game at this point anyway. We don't know when. We don't know exactly what that's going to look like. Eventually, we're going to meet together, even as a church, in person, in this building even. It's going to happen. We don't know when. We don't know what it'll look like. But you know what? It's not really all that important. When? I think there's something more important than just when are we going to get back to normal? When are we going to be able to come back together again? It's how are we going to come back? Who are we going to be on the other side of this? I wonder, Victory Family Church, are we going to be more in love with Jesus on the other side of this? I wonder if we're going to be more full of faith. I wonder if we're going to believe bigger and more. I wonder if we're going to be ready to serve more sacrificially, to give more extravagantly than we ever have before. I wonder if we're going to come out on the other side of this, ready to go more all in and more in love with God and what He has for your life. I wonder if we're going to be ready to go all in on the vision and the mission and the plan of God that He has for Victory Family Church. If this is your home church, you're joining us online, are you more ready to go all in on that vision as God directs our pastors, Pastor John and Michelle Nuzzo? Or if you're joining us from whatever church that you're a part of, that you be planted in that place to learn and to grow and to contribute. God has that for you. But so often, if for God to produce and to make something in us, He's got to first shake some things out of us. The making is in the shaking. But I want to be clear about this. You know, a shaking is not God bringing tragedy into your life. So many people have that misconception that everything that happens in their life, it's ultimately God's will and God causing that and doing that. Well, He just wanted me to learn something. No, God is not the author or the creator, the one bringing things to you that is actually stealing from you, killing you, destroying you. God didn't take your mom. He didn't take your daddy. Didn't take your brother, sister, loved one, whoever that is. That's not God's doing. The insurance company may have said what happened to you was an act of God, but it wasn't God. That's not who He is. No, it says, Scripture tells us that the devil, Satan, the enemy of your soul and mine, is the one who comes to steal. He's the one who comes to kill. He's the one that comes to destroy. God didn't put that sickness on your life. God's not the cause of the coronavirus or the crisis that you may be experiencing today. He's your answer, not your problem. A shaking is not any of those things. No, a shaking, again, it's what? A shaking is the removal of everything that keeps us from being unshakable. And I want to look at this today. I want to look at two things about a shaking. Two things about a shaking. Number one is that a shaking, first of all, reveals us. Shaking reveals us. You know, I think it back to before I got married, and I don't think I was necessarily completely wrong about this, but I, my self-concept was such that, you know, I feel like I'm a pretty nice guy. My temperament is such that I'm pretty even keel, and things don't really rock the boat a whole lot for me. It takes a lot, you know, for me to get worked up or to get angry or react to something. And so that was kind of the way I thought and felt about myself. But I can tell you, on the other side of marriage, I found out I can get angry. Right? I found out that, in fact, even quickly, if the right button is pressed, like, oh my goodness, it's almost as if, you know, you almost picture like my wife getting like two wires out, electric wires, and like, zzz, zzz, zzz. You feel that? That's called anger. You're going to be experiencing this more. Just a heads up, right? And so it can feel that way. And the temptation in the midst of that is to go, wait a minute, beforehand, I was awesome. Afterwards, now you're here, you're the problem. You're the problem in all of this. That's the tempting thing to think and to feel. But you know, I love this illustration that Pastor Tim Keller gives, and he gives this in his book titled The Meaning of Marriage. The Meaning of Marriage, and honestly, I feel like it's probably my favorite, maybe even most helpful book that I've ever read on marriage. I would recommend it to you. The Meaning of Marriage by Pastor Tim Keller. And he gives this illustration of a bridge. And again, it's about marriage in our life, and it transcends marriage, though, and went into what we're talking about today. He says, think of an old bridge that's going over a stream. All right, normal traffic is going across it, but it's old, and so it's got a lot of little cracks and some faults and some hairline fractures that are in it, but you can't see it just by looking at it. You can't see it with the naked eye. But now picture a 10-ton Mack truck driving across that bridge. What's going to happen? The weight of that truck going across that bridge, what's it going to do? It's going to expose those cracks and those faults and all the flaws in it, right? Now you can see those hairline fractures. Now you can see where all the flaws are. But listen to this. The truck didn't create the weaknesses. It revealed them. Don't miss that. It didn't create it, but it revealed it. And in the same way, shakings are the Mack trucks that go across the bridge of our lives that reveals what was already there. It's always been there. You just didn't see it because there was nothing significant enough, nothing weighty enough to come across your life to expose it and to see it for what it is. Shakings reveal us. Look at this in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Jesus speaking. He says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew, and it beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew, it beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Everything looks good in the sunshine. Everything looks good. You can get away with pretty much anything in the sunshine. You can know about God rather than knowing him in the sunshine. You can put other things above God and money and success and just your own pleasure and desires and build your own kingdom. You can get away with that in the sunshine. But can I tell you, it's not about how you look in the sunshine. It's about how you stand in the storm, because it takes a storm to reveal your foundation. My prayer for you today in the midst of this time is that you wouldn't miss this opportunity to discover what your real foundation actually is. That you wouldn't waste your life on building a good looking house, but that you would actually have the right foundation. Can I tell you, the only way you really find out is in the storm. Don't just settle for looking good. Let's make it actually build something on the right foundation where it is good. It's about how you stand in the storm. Because when God builds a house, he builds it for the storm. I pray that every other faulty foundation in the midst of this time, everything that can be shaken would be shaken in your life. So only that which is unshakable, only that which is truly of God that really matters would remain, that everything else would be exposed in us. That's my prayer for myself, is my prayer for you, that ultimately the faulty foundations of pursuing success or the dream job or the dream car or the all the different ideals about what my life could be or should be, but maybe apart from God, and all the different distractions and putting our own pleasure above him. I pray that every other faulty foundation for you would just crumble, that it would crash, that it would reveal, so that ultimately what is unshakable would truly be the foundation of your life. You know, there's so many different things, so many different resources, information available that can help you build a house. They can help you build a successful life from that we basically would last in the sunshine. And it looks good and it sounds good. And it may even be, in a sense, true. And you can even find some of those same truths in the Word of God. But I wonder if sometimes we settle, even as believers, for true practices and principles that we find in the world. But the problem is we actually inherit their foundation, that we actually miss the foundation built upon the Word of God, knowing his Word and knowing him personally, knowing him intimately, and acting in accordance with what he speaks to us personally from his Word and by his Spirit, actually living that life. Can I tell you, both houses, both builders, what happened? They both heard the Word of God, but they didn't both act upon the Word of God. Can I tell you, you can have a lot of good truths that can help you build the house of your life, but it'll only stand in the sunshine. But are you built to stand in the storm? Only God's Word, hearing it, knowing it, consistently putting into your heart and acting in accordance with it, will result in you standing. Shaking reveals us. I think about Peter and Jesus telling his disciples, listen guys, I'm about to go be crucified. And all of you guys, I'm just telling you right now, I'm calling the shot beforehand. You're all gonna walk away from it. You're all gonna fall away. But Peter argued with Jesus and said, if everybody else goes, hey, I don't know about everybody else, they probably will, but I am sticking with you, Jesus. I am all in. And Jesus says, actually, Peter, you're gonna deny me. Three times, in fact, before the rooster crows on the next morning, all right? It's actually not gonna go so hot. But Peter actually argues, again, he argues with Jesus. In fact, actually what he says is, no, if I have to die, fine, I will never deny you. And I don't know about you, how you hear that or see that, but when I read that and when I think about that, I think, wow, it would really look like if I didn't know the end of the story, that Peter does actually end up denying Jesus, I wouldn't think that would be the result. I think, man, Peter sounds like he's full of faith. It sounds like he is so committed. It sounds like he's all in. And I believe genuinely in his heart, he had that sense of conviction. He really did feel that way. He really did believe that about himself in that moment. But can I tell you, when God comes to you and me and says, hey, actually, you're going to deny me three times, you say, well, I really feel like I'm all in, Jesus. I really feel like I'm all in, God. If God comes to you and says, I know you think that, I know you feel that, but this is where you really are, agree with God. Don't make it super spiritual. Don't cover it with positive confessions. Don't cover it with all these different things. If God says this is where you are, don't try to outpunt your coverage. Don't try to act like you're in a place of faith in your development that you aren't really. Agree with God and say, God, if you say right now the condition of my character and my heart is such that I'm going to deny you, that things aren't right in my foundation, I say, yes, Lord, it's bad and I agree with you. What can we do from here? Because that's the only way that you're going to move forward, is agree with God. Humbling ourselves, shaking reveals where we really are. But that's not the end of it. The second thing is this. Shaking doesn't just reveal us, but shaking refines us. It refines us. You know, again, I'm the director of Waymaker. That's our school of ministry here at Victory, and it's awesome. And you know, we really believe in developing and raising up Christian leaders that are actually healthy and whole in every aspect, spirit, soul, and body. You know, you can't do ministry physically. If you're not in like good enough health, you know, if your body gives out, you can't do ministry when you're dead, right? Kind of our joking way that we like to say, you can't do ministry if you're dead. So physical health matters. And attached to that, one of the things we do is they do workouts and that kind of thing. But it culminates in the Pittsburgh Marathon Relay. At least for our traditional program, they do the marathon relay. The evening program, they do a 5K. So last year, I was training for the marathon relay, and it takes the whole marathon, 26.2 miles, and it breaks it down into 5 legs. And so the legs range from about 4 miles to 6 miles in length. And so I was preparing for, I believe our leg was around 5 miles or so, that my wife and I were running together with the students. And so I'd never run anything like that, ever. I'd never run like a distance thing. Now, I was athletic, though, all throughout high school, played a lot of sports, you know, so in that sense, I was well-conditioned, but just not a distance runner necessarily. And so so I'm training for this. Now, I've got, again, in my mind, again, I've been athletic, so in my head, I'm kind of still, maybe you can identify with this, I'm kind of still in high school in my head, right? Still kind of feel that way. Like I'm thinking of myself in terms of like, well, I've been athletic, I've done things physically, sports, that kind of stuff, right? So in my mind, that's where I am, right? And I think, well, because I was well-conditioned back then, therefore, I've got kind of ideas about how fast I'm going to be able to go, how far I'm going to be able to go, and how quickly and how the training is going to go, right? I've got ideas in my head based off of that. But in the process of training, I found out where I really was. Funny thing, actually, one of the first times that I went out, now there's some other things, I didn't have probably the right shoes on and different things as well, but the first time I went out and ran, I forget how far I went and how long I went, but whenever I came back, I actually hurt myself, like the back of, I think it was around my ankle and stuff, like it hurt for like a week or so afterwards, and it delayed my training. It was just the first time that I went out. It was bad. I found out where I really was, right? But that's not all. It wasn't just that I found out where I really was. As I continued to train, what happened? As I was training, my conditioning was refined. So now I was able to run a little farther and run a little farther and run a little farther. Now I'm able to run a little bit faster and a little bit faster and a little bit faster. And now my heart rate isn't quite as elevated as I'm running, right? And I wonder if in the middle of all of this that we're so stuck on getting back to normalcy, that we are completely missing the opportunity to run a little faster, to run a little farther, for our conditioning to be fortified in Christ, for our heart rate to be adjusted. Why? Because shaking refines us. You know, it's one thing for us to say that we have faith. It's another thing to actually exercise faith, right? It's one thing to say that we love people. It's another thing to actually follow through and to love people. And I want us to look at this in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. James writes this. He says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds." At this moment already, it's kind of like, I don't know, James. Don't know about that. Don't know about considering a joy side of things. But why? He tells us why we can do this. Why can we consider it joy when we go through stuff? He says, because you know. Well, if you didn't know, now you're going to know. You know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Not lacking anything. James is saying, hey, you want to be complete? Do you want to be all that God has created you to be mature, to be complete, not lacking anything? What is it? It looks like suffering a long time. Yay! Isn't that awesome? Let perseverance, sticking with it, have its perfect work. Or I can say it this way, don't quit when things get hard. I know that's so simple, but just don't quit when things get hard. And I want to give you this statement that I think will help you. If in the middle of that, whether it's now or sometime in your life, sometime in the future, I'm going to tell you, you're going to need this in your backpack for life, so to speak. Can I encourage you with this? When you're in the middle of trying times, difficult times, don't be so distracted by the difficulty of what you're going through that you miss what God is making in you. Let's say that again. Don't be so distracted by the difficulty that you're going through that you miss what God is making in you. Could it be that he's actually making you mature? He's making you complete. He's actually getting you a place where you're lacking nothing. That's not perfect. It means that you're whole. You know, my wife Sarah and I, we have a son, and he's about to turn 4 in a little over a month from now. And, you know, before we had Ethan, we actually experienced 2 miscarriages. And then we had Ethan, and then after Ethan, we experienced another 2 miscarriages. And so a total of 4. And I can tell you, man, I know that's a very sadly common thing, and many of you have experienced that, and I could just grieve with you, especially if that happened recently for you. Man, we're praying for you, standing with you. Reach out to somebody. Let us know. We want to pray with you concerning that or whatever you're walking through. But I can tell you, man, after the second miscarriage that we went through, I was just, honestly, man, I was so hurting. And truth be told, I was bitter toward God. And, you know, God isn't the one that brought that into our lives. He didn't plan it. He didn't will that for us. But, you know, when you're going through that kind of stuff, that's kind of how you feel, right? And so I remember getting honest before God. And I was just like, God, honestly, right where I am, I don't trust you right now. I don't trust you. And, you know, that's not a good place to be, but that's honestly where I was. I mean, different thoughts where it's like, God, your word says that you knit us together in our mother's womb. You must be a terrible knitter, right? Those kind of thoughts in my heart and in my mind. But what I can tell you on the other side of all that is that what the devil meant for evil, what the devil meant as a temptation to start to question God's goodness, and is he really a healer, or can you count on him, and is he faithful to watch over his word and to perform it? What the devil meant as a temptation to walk away and a tragedy to actually turn away from God and stop believing in him, stop believing in his word, God actually took and redeemed into a shaking that could produce life. Can I tell you that on the other side of all this, I don't pray the same way that I did before all of this. I don't mean that in a negative way. I'm not saying that I now doubt more. No, I'm saying actually I'm more full of faith. That my faith has actually been refined. I actually believe more in God's faithfulness, not less. I actually believe more that God is a healer and he's good and he's true. That there were actually some things, some ways in which my faith needed to be refined, some different things that I believed, or some different aspects of how I saw him or saw prayer or understood. He helped me in the middle of where I was. Some things were revealed and some things were refined. I'm not saying that God has brought that into, and he didn't bring it into my life. He's not bringing those things into your life, but he will redeem it into a shaking so that it actually can make us more like him. The making is in that shaking. Again, and I wonder right now, as we get toward the end of this and we start to wrap this up, I wonder right now in the midst of all the coronavirus stuff and the economic hardship, everything that we're walking through, that just that God wants to redeem this coronavirus thing into a shaking that makes us more like him. What has this time revealed in your heart? Maybe I've, like Peter, like I thought I was somewhere that I really wasn't. You know what? Some foundations in my life, man, I found that my priorities have been wrong. God and his word really hasn't been first. I'm ready now to go all in with him. I'm ready to know him. I'm ready to say yes. I'm ready to have that consistent daily time of getting into the Bible and reading his word and praying and worshiping him and just putting him first in my life again, first in my family, first in the future. I'm ready to actually discover the purpose that he has for my life and say yes and step into obedience. I'm ready to start serving. I'm ready to start giving. I'm ready to actually get involved in a community of people where we can come together who are like-minded, who are all in with Jesus. I'm ready to go find somebody who's in need and bless them. I'm ready to go find somebody who doesn't know Jesus, actually talk to them about that. Imagine that, you personally sharing Christ with somebody. You can do that. You might say, I'm ready for some stuff, some baggage, some garbage to be shaken off. Scripture tells us that we are encouraged, therefore, to throw off all the sin, throw off everything that entangles us, whether it's sinful or it's just a weight in your life. Throw it off so that you can run the race that God has for you. You have a high calling in Christ Jesus. Don't waste this time by missing the shaking and the making that he has for you through it, because he wants to reveal some things to you. What has he revealed to you? Ask that the Holy Spirit reveal something in your heart right now, even if it's just one thing that's got to go, that's a created thing that actually is keeping you from being unshakable. What is that? What is that? And how might you take a step towards seeing that area fall off or seeing different areas in your heart and your life refined today? Maybe for you, that step is simply this. You know, I've never made Jesus the Lord and Savior of my life. Maybe you're familiar with church. You've kind of played the church game. You're kind of familiar with religion. Or maybe you're not. You're just joining in. Awesome to have you with us. I just want to ask, have you made Jesus the Lord of your life? It's not something you kind of slip into and fall into by accident. It's a conscious surrender to him. Wherever you're at, no matter who's in the room, would you just bow your head and close your eyes, just wherever you're at, as a means of just focusing our attention off of people and on to God. If you don't know that you've made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life, God sent Jesus to pay the price for our sin. Our sin, it separated us from God. Sin, Scripture tells us, it produces or leads to death. Death is that separation from God. But God sent Jesus to live the perfect, blameless life as our substitute, to take on our punishment of sin, to take on that death. He died on the cross, but he rose from the dead for you and I so that we could have new life. It's a gift that has to be received. It's not something that you earn. It's not something you disqualify yourself from. It's something that has to be simply received by faith. And I want to lead you in that prayer to do that together. I encourage you to repeat this prayer after me, wherever you're at. And I encourage you, all of you, just repeat it. If there's multiple people in the room, just pray it together wherever you are. Mean it from your heart. Don't just say these words. It's not just saying the words. It's what's happening in your heart, a heart to receive Christ today. Would you repeat this after me? Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I believe he is the Son of God. He died on a cross for my sins. And he rose from the dead so I could have new life. Jesus, I confess you as my Savior and my Lord, and I am now a child of God. My sin is gone. The past is behind me. I turn from the old ways, and I turn toward you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're so excited for you. We celebrate you. Man, if you made that decision today, we're going to give you some real practical, simple next steps. You don't have to take that next step alone. We want to walk through life with you and help you grow, help you develop, help you get plugged in at a church. And man, so you can step into everything that God has for you to be, everything that God has for you to do. Man, your future is so bright. So good to be here with you. I'm going to hand it off to our host. Don't go anywhere. They have some important announcements for you. God bless you guys.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Victory Family Church. If you enjoyed listening, please take a moment to rate, review, and share. For more resources, including locations and service times, please visit lifeatvictory.com.